All right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6 tonight. Hard to believe that we are already here into the first month of April, first Wednesday night of April. And it is a time that we set apart to take a little bit of time to focus on the heartbeat of God, which is that of missions, of being a people who are serious about seeing people saved, about seeing lives changed. And tonight here in Isaiah chapter number 6, we are going to see our theme verse for our overall theme for our Missions Emphasis Sunday this coming week. And the simple question, will you be the one? Will you be the one? And so you're there, Isaiah chapter number 6. And notice, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. Verse number 1. We're only going to take one verse for the theme portion, but we need to read nearly the entirety of the chapter to understand the context. And so, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says this: "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coat in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And here's the commission Isaiah was given in verse number 9. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." I want you to notice there, the verse number 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go with us, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." And again, our question is just very simply, will you be the one? Just like here in Isaiah's time today, the Lord is looking for a people, for a person who is going to respond to his call to be a witness for him. The song that we sung at the beginning of the service tonight, Rescue the Perishing, there was a line in that hymn, tell the poor wonder a Savior has died. Now, when we look at that song, we look at that line in particular, the words are very simple. Tell the poor wonder a Savior has died. In other words, tell somebody that Jesus died for them. That's the basic gist of the line. That's the basic gist of the song. And it's a very simple message, but when you look at it in detail, you find very quickly that it is an imperative. It is a command. It is something that it's filled with a divine urgency. It's filled with an eternal hope. And tonight I want us to, just for a few moments, explore this line a little bit more. Because as Christians tonight, we are called to understand not just the sacrifice of Christ. I believe we understand that sacrifice. The fact that Christ died and he died for our sins. We understand that tonight. But we are also called to understand the call of God upon our lives to bring the message of that sacrifice to a world that desperately needs it. And sometimes we get into the mindset, we fall into the trap of thinking, well, it's just the pastor's responsibility, or it's just the deacon's responsibility, or it's just the Sunday school teacher's responsibility, or it's just certain people's job to be a witness. And the truth of the matter tonight is that if you are here and you are a Christian and you know what Jesus did for you, then you have a call of God on your life to be a witness for God. You have a call of God on your life to be a witness for Christ. Now, I understand that not everybody here is going to have the call of God on their life to be a pastor. Not everybody here is going to have the call of God to be a missionary. There are people that I've had in our churches over the years, I thought that, you know, they'd make a great deacon. And when I talked to them about it, they met all the qualifications set out in Timothy and in Titus, but they just didn't feel as if that was their calling. And you know what? That's fine. And some folks don't have that call. Some folks don't have a call on their life to be a Sunday school teacher. Some folks don't have the call of God on their life to be in, you know, ministry, as it were. And some people just don't have that call. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we all have the call of God to be a witness for God. We all have the call of God to be a witness for Jesus. And in a world today that often, I mean, you just look all around you, you find out very quickly, we live in a world that often wanders in sin. They are knee deep. You know, if this was a swimming pool, they're not even knee deep. I mean, they're so deep, just their head is, you know, poking out of the water. That's how deep in sin that they find themselves today. And they're wandering in sin. They're wandering in confusion. They're wandering in despair. And the message that God gives us is clear. The message that the Bible gives us is clear. The message that Jesus gives us is clear, that tell the poor wonder a Savior has died. The question we must ask ourselves today is this: are we fulfilling that call? And so I wanted to say this evening just a little bit about what Scripture reveals to us about the heart of Jesus for the lost and our responsibility as Christians to reach them. Go over, take your hymn books, and go back there to 377. And notice the words of this hymn. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Then here's the verse and the line that I want us to focus on, the part of it I want us to focus on, verse number 4. Rescue the perishing, and notice what it says. Duty demands it. It's not just a suggestion. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Of course, we know this old hymn, Rescue the Perishing. It was written by Fanny Crosby. And you don't have to be around long to have heard the name Fanny Crosby. She's one of, if not the most prolific hymn writers that we have in history. Of course, Fanny Crosby, if you know anything about her, she was blind from birth. She never had the option or the opportunity, the privilege of being able to see. She was born blind from birth, but she had an exceptional ability to see the spiritual needs of people with her heart. And her hymns, like this one, they reflect a deep concern for the lost souls of people. And this line tonight that we're focusing on, tell the poor wanderer, a Savior has died, specifically refers us to the mission that Christ gave to his followers before he ascended into heaven. Take your Bibles, go over if you would, Matthew chapter 28. Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 tonight. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 16. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 16, down through verse number 20, specifically verses 19 and 20. The Bible there says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we see here tonight that Jesus commands us to go and tell the world about his death, his sacrifice, his salvation. And this is not just a suggestion, but it's a divine mandate. To illustrate a little bit of the urgency, the beauty of this message. Years ago, I heard about a story of a missionary in Africa. His name was John. And this missionary was sent to a remote village. And upon arriving, he saw many people who lived in deep darkness. And they were there in spiritual darkness. They were there in physical darkness. And just darkness all around. And they had never heard of Jesus Christ. Never in their life have they heard the name Jesus. And then one day, John found a man who was wandering aimlessly. And this man that he found, he was filled with sorrow. He was filled with confusion. The man was, in all senses of the term, a wanderer. And he was lost in his sin. He was lost in his despair. And John approached him, and through an interpreter, he shared the good news. He shared that there is hope. He shared that a Savior had died for your sins, that that very same Savior is alive today. And so, and as this man listened, all of a sudden his hardened face started to soften as he listened. And after hearing about the sacrifice of Jesus, this man there in this remote village of Africa, he fell to his knees, tears streaming down his face, and there, in the darkest of darkness, in the darkest part of the world, he gave his life to Jesus. And he got saved. And he went from that darkness to light. And I want you tonight to just for a few moments imagine the impact when someone who has been wandering in their sin, they finally hear the words, "A Savior has died." They finally hear the message that they don't have to wander anymore. They finally hear the message that they don't have to die in their sins and go to hell, but there was a God who provided a sacrifice on a cross to save them from their sins, that one day they might go to heaven. And now listen, I can all day long talk to you about the theological aspect of it and the theological facts of it and everything else, but I want you to know this morning or tonight that salvation is more than just a theological thought post. Salvation is more than just something that we study on a theological level. It is the key to eternal life. It is the key to somebody knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is the message of salvation that brings that lost wanderer home to Jesus. Turn over, if you would, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want us to see tonight and solidify our understanding of why this poor wanderer needs to hear this message. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "Therefore, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, this passage tonight is the heart. This is the very center of the gospel message. You see, Jesus tonight, he didn't die for the righteous. No, the Bible says he died for the ungodly. The Bible doesn't say he waited for us to be good enough to have our lives in order to save us. No, the Bible says Christ died for us while we were still lost in sin. And this is why the poor wanderer, those who are lost in their sin, need to hear this message, that Christ died for you. You're here tonight, no doubt, because at one time in your life, Lord willing, you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And at one point in your life, you found out that you were that poor wanderer, that you were that person walking in darkness, searching for meaning, looking for answers in all the wrong places. You felt the weight of guilt. You felt the weight of regret the weight of loneliness. But then one day you heard the good news that a Savior died for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He left the glory of heaven. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. And 33 and a half years later, He gave Himself up on the cross. He bore your sins. He bore my sins on His body. He suffered. He bled. He died. But death could not hold Him. And on the third day, He rose again. He rose victorious over sin and over death. And now, today, He sits at the right hand of God the Father. And He offers that same gift of eternal life to a lost and dying world. And they need to hear that a Savior died for them. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible, tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You're here tonight, you know that you're saved, that you can say God brought you home. You no longer wander lost, but you are found in His love. You are found in His grace. And so tonight, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, then as the saved, as the redeemed, you have a responsibility. The poor wanderer is still out there. And we are the ones tasked with bringing the message of hope to them. How often have we looked the other way when we see someone wandering aimlessly, spiritually lost, in need of the Savior? 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Folks, tonight, as a church, as a Christian, we must be ready. We must be prepared to tell the lost world around us that a Savior has died. Listen, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your coworker, whether it's the stranger on the street, the call remains the same. We must be willing to share the gospel message with those who are wandering in sin, because they need to hear the truth that, yes, Jesus died, but Jesus died for them. And so in conclusion tonight, we must remember that the message of the gospel is a message of hope. The Savior has died, and through His death and resurrection, all who believe can have eternal life. So to the lost tonight, if you're wondering, come to Jesus today to be saved. And then if you're a Christian tonight, you must go and tell somebody that Jesus has died for them. And as a Christian tonight, will you take up the mantle of the Great Commission and lead the wandering souls to the Savior? I hope tonight we will never forget that a Savior has died. And because of that, there is hope for the lost and salvation for all who believe. Let's pray.